there's a number of areas where I really want to finish the job that we've started with the voter support over the last few years. So this includes finishing the infrastructure plan that voters, by 76% of them, voted to support a year ago, but we still have, you know, 4 years of work ahead, and the implementation really matters. Finishing the job on transforming the failing downtown mall into this vibrant, mixed-use, mixed-income neighborhood with people living there of all backgrounds and incomes and ages, with, you know, brand-new restored St. Paul and Pine Street and new public infrastructure on the streets around there. That construction is just getting going. I worked hard for years to get the opportunity for the city to pursue this. I really want to make sure it gets done right. Another kind of area of kind of finishing the job is I have great optimism about that finally we are figuring out, and great, not optimism, but the word is really hope, that we are on the cusp of finally turning around this terrible opioid epidemic. And we have real momentum in these community stat meetings we have every month. I'm really hoping to get the opportunity to continue that effort in the years ahead. And there's more that fits there, but I would say, you know, that's sort of one area of things, is I want to finish these important initiatives, projects that we've started. Then, in addition, after 6 years of work, addressing our finances, addressing some other really kind of hot, urgent problems that that marked the last 6 years, we now, the next 3 years, I think, are going to be a very exciting time when we can take on some promising new initiatives. So specifically, we're just getting off the ground an early learning initiative that I think is going to have a big impact on kids age 0 to 3 in this community, particularly low-income kids, and making sure they have high-quality care options. Another area, you know, this net zero, this new effort to try to become a net zero energy city. I think we're going to be able to make some exciting progress with that over the next 3 years. So, you know, I've got lots of ambitions and eagerness. I've got many things that I get excited about. So I'll stop there, though, Pat. I think those are, you know, five that kind of summarize a lot about what the next 3 years are going to be.
One of the criticisms that your opponents and perhaps some of the voters have had out there is that your plans are overdeveloping the city of Burlington. What do you make of that argument in this campaign?
First of all, I'd say these aren't my plans. You know, these are plans that have been developed through years of community engagement processes, and ultimately, certainly with respect to the redevelopment of the failing downtown mall into a mixed-use, vibrant neighborhood, that is something that both was called for in this Plan B TV community planning process and then was validated by a strong vote of the Burlington public before we went forward with it. I guess more broadly, here's what I think this boils down to. For more than 100 years, Burlington has been the city in Vermont where people of all incomes, ages, and backgrounds sought opportunity. And we've long been a place where people of all incomes, backgrounds, and ages sought to start homes, start a career, start a business. And that is my vision of what Burlington remains in the future, a place of opportunity for all. And I think that vision of Burlington was really threatened 6 years ago when we were seeing very little new investment in the downtown. As a result of that, we were seeing income, you know, the cost of housing rise to the point where the average Burlingtonian was spending 44% of their income on rent. I think we were at risk then of becoming, you know, kind of like a East Coast Palo Alto, you know, a place where you could only afford to live if you were very wealthy or were getting, you know, significant help from the government. And that's not my vision of Burlington. My vision of Burlington is a place for the middle class, is a place for young households to get started. And that's why we're fighting for this vision of Burlington. And I think I am concerned about what I hear from the other candidates who, you know, have really indicated that they would return to, I think, an overly narrow vision of what type of housing they pursued in the city and what kind of investments they pursued. And I think that would be a really unfortunate direction for the city to go back to.
That vision of housing, affordable housing, quote unquote, has been an issue. What's your perception of affordable housing?
Yeah, so I'm glad to speak to this, Pat, because there's a lot, you know, I want to be really clear on this. My background as a professional is in being an affordable housing developer primarily for low-income families and low-income seniors. That's what I did for 15 years. I believe in that kind of housing for the most vulnerable, and we have pursued that aggressively as an administration for the last 6 years, and we have succeeded at that. We have built or preserved more than 300 permanently affordable homes, and we have many more that are about to be constructed, and that record stacks up very well at any time in Burlington's history. I think it is a mistake at the same time to just focus on that type of housing. And that is, I think we have an affordable housing crisis. And if we're going to get our way out of that crisis, we need to be supporting housing for people of all backgrounds, incomes, and ages. And I think it's really quite disturbing to hear that my opponents would go back to that much narrower vision of housing, which I think having too narrow a vision is actually one of the reasons we have the crisis we have now. Having too narrow a vision has driven up the cost of housing over time, and I think we're making progress on that now. Cities that have been taking this approach for longer than us are actually seeing rents drop by pursuing the kind of strategies that we're pursuing, and it would be quite disturbing for the city to turn back in the overly narrow direction that we had in the past.
Earlier, we started the conversation with some of the initiatives that you want to continue with if you're reelected, and you have talked about a few of the other issues. But over the past 6 years, what's been most challenging as mayor?
What's been most challenging? Certainly I'd say more maybe than any single issue, and the one that took the most work was probably the Burlington Telecom issue. From start to finish, that was an enormous effort. It has been the issue that I think we put the most time into as an administration. We, in the early days, had a major challenge to get to a settlement with Citibank to avoid going to a jury trial that could have had a horrendous result had we done that. And it's been challenging, as we've all seen in recent months, into sort of getting to the final conclusion with the city council on who our long-term partner would be. It's also been a very satisfying issue. If you look back at where we were then versus where we are now, I'm proud of the progress we've made as a community. 6 years ago, we were being sued for $33.5 million by Citibank. The Citibank was also threatening to rip the fiber optic cable out of the ground, or at least was urging the judge to put BT into receivership. There was a very uncertain future about Burlington Telecom at the time. 6 years later, the taxpayers are protected. There is no more lawsuit and essentially no more liability. You know, the taxpayers were protected without making additional payments. The fiber's still in the ground. And with this final decision by the council with SURS, we have a partner that is going to bring stability to BT and ensure that for the foreseeable future, Burlingtonians enjoy high-speed, affordable internet choice. That is a real accomplishment.
Somehow I thought you might mention the Moran plant as the biggest challenge.
It's an important issue, and it's frustrating to me that we haven't brought the resolution with Moran that that I intend to, and that is another reason I'm eager for another 3 years, is I would like to make a final chance to make good on bringing resolution there. I see Moran as part of a broader effort to bring life and energy back to the northern waterfront. And that has been a really exciting part of the last 6 years. We have gone from that part of the city being one of, really an eyesore and post-industrial debris there and overgrown vegetation to now really it's become one of the most beautiful parts of the city, with a realigned bike path along the lake, with a new world-class skate park, with a brand new sailing center there, with another park to be built there this summer, as well as a new park that opened last year. I don't really see that as frustrating. I see that as an exciting final chapter with the rebuilding of the Northern Waterfront still to come.
You have two challengers. Town meeting day is very quickly approaching.
Yes.
How optimistic are you?
I am optimistic. You know, it's interesting part about this job is pretty much every town meeting day, and sometimes in the fall as well, I'm out there making the case to voters about listening to voters and hearing where people want to go, and often making a case about what progress looks like with our downtown or our waterfront or our finances. And every time we've gone to the voters for the last 6 years, we've done it a lot, 17 times, the voters have shown that they like the direction of the city. And so I'm optimistic that's still the case and that we're going to get a good, strong vote next Tuesday. At the same time, we don't take anything for granted. I'm going to be knocking on as many doors as I can, talking to as many voters as possible between now and 7 p.m. on Tuesday, and then we'll see where that leaves us. But I would, you know, certainly ask any voter who's listening in here, I do ask for their vote on March 6th. I will work very hard for you and do everything I can to make good on your trust.